Today, we have a story from the Gospel of John about Jesus and the sheep. I invite you to John 10, 11 through 18. John is the fourth Gospel, as you know, and often has a lengthened version of what the other Gospel writers might have said. The others might have called Jesus a shepherd, good shepherd, but John makes it clear what that means. And in this passage, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, Jesus himself speaks in beginning it. Listen to these words, literally for the word of the Lord. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a moment, asking for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and for not what we want to hear, but for what we need to hear. O Lord, may the words of all our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I understand the need for sheep to be guided. Each of us needs that guidance in our own way. Maybe it's more than guidance. Maybe we need to be herded and gathered together and kind of constantly prodded to get into the right direction or to stay going the right direction. Maybe sheep are not that smart. I don't know, because even a good sheepdog can guide those sheep, you know, get outside and pull them back in and guide them right on into the fold. But without that guidance, those same sheep often wander off and get lost. Jesus told several stories about lost sheep, didn't he? Sheep are vulnerable. How come we're called sheep? We are sheep of his fold. Probably because I assume that you're a lot like me, that we just step off the path fairly often. Sometimes we get back on it sooner than the others. But sometimes we need help. And always we need the Lord. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, Jesus says. And Jesus gave us the command, feed my lambs, to help us learn how to take care of one another. And he gave us the illustration by showing us what he meant. He said, I give up my life so that I can take it up again. Jesus gave himself completely on behalf of the sheep. No wonder we call him the Good Shepherd. The Shepherd Psalm, you know it, Psalm 23, promises us that when the Lord is our shepherd, we will lack for nothing. He lets us rest in the grassy meadows. He leads us beside the peaceful, still waters. Guides our paths, especially when we walk in dark places. Uses his shepherd's staff to guide us or prod us or rescue us when we step off. A table to spread out. Olive oil to heal our wounds. The cup so full that it spills over. And a promise that God's faithful love will pursue us relentlessly and find us all the days of our lives. Shepherd keeps the sheep safe, helps them to have boundaries, points the way to the really good grazing, runs off the predators. It's a little like raising children, I guess. Maybe it's even harder than raising children, because sheep are a little bit unobservant. They naturally look down to find grass. And when they are looking down, you know, when you are looking down, you're always vulnerable. Looking down makes the sheep vulnerable to attack, to a wolf, a predator, maybe just wandering off. They're vulnerable to just being lost from the fold, wandering away, or even stumbling off the side of a hill and getting hurt. All we like sheep have gone astray. This is from Isaiah now. Wandered from the fold, each of us has gone our own way. But with the writer of the New Testament book of Acts, we proclaim the shepherd, the one, Jesus. The stone who the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Excuse me. You know that the corner is the strongest part of the wall. The place where the walls come together is a place where you know there is a stable and sturdy place to build, to stand, to give the whole building a structure. And Jesus is that cornerstone, the strongest part of the wall. That's what makes Jesus a good shepherd. Because the shepherd is the one who holds up the sheep or the wall. One single wall, no matter how strongly it's built, wouldn't be good, much good by itself, because it would fall one direction or another. Wouldn't stand up against wind or waves. So it's no wonder Jesus is called the cornerstone. I like that image, but I think I like the shepherd image better. Because a wall, a corner, even the corner, as stable and strong as that is, doesn't move around. And the shepherd moves around and takes care of the flock. We're supposed to do the best we can, of course, and give Jesus the credit. And in doing that, we can celebrate the words of the 23rd Psalm where it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff give me security." Remember the life of the one who lays down his life for the sheep. The one whose voice the sheep recognize and remember and follow. Jesus says there will be one flock, one shepherd. And Jesus is the one who lays down his life for the whole flock. Old Testament king we hear of so often is King David. And David was from Bethlehem. You know, they say it in Matthew. When Jesus is going to be born. They went to Bethlehem, to the city of David, where the Messiah would be born. I think Jesus and David are a lot alike. David was a ruler, anointed by God to be sure, but nothing like Jesus is, as God incarnated in human form. But there is that Bethlehem link. That's where they were both from. And you know, that has all kinds of new meaning after you come back from visiting Bethlehem. Bethlehem and all around it, outside, in fact, the whole countryside is full of shepherds and sheep. It's hard to drive down the roads or drive down the freeway even without seeing sheep on a hillside. And very often, you'll see a shepherd there with them, sometimes standing even with a staff in his hand, sometimes on a donkey, sometimes on some kind of a cycle vehicle. But out there, spending time with and taking care of the sheep, there's something kind of sweet and wholesome about that. You know, we think of our children kind of as sheep to be guided. Little lambs, we call them. Sometimes a little cherub choir in a church family will be called the little lambs. Cherubs are angels, but lambs are animals. But they're young and vulnerable ones, and they're ones that need to be guided and helped. It's kind of sweet to call them that, and to recognize that all of us are lambs like that. In some ways, we find sometimes that the younger ones around us really are a sign of God's grace, and maybe they're the ones that'll correct us or help us to be motivated to walk a straighter line. We get it right a lot, and we get it wrong sometimes, and that's when we depend on God's grace, on God to make the difference. We have to ask God for that grace and welcome it into our lives. And we need it, whatever our role for raising a family or teaching children or youth, teaching or mentoring, parenting, or even being their pastor. Always when we are in a leadership role in a ministry area, the standards are high, the stakes are high. But when you're dealing with souls, the potential is incredible. The birth of the baby, whether its name is David or Jesus or Cameron James, or whether it's you, the stakes are high and the cost is high. But the cost of failing is highest, and that cost is unbearable. Jesus speaks of sheep and shepherds all the time. Shepherds might be just about keeping danger away or helping the sheep to find good food. I don't know which you think of yourself. Really, you're probably both, sheep and shepherd. I'd claim that. You probably have people who look up to you who you think you're guiding and mentoring, and they look up to you and respect you for that. In that sense, you're a shepherd, but you also are sheep. And all of us sheep need to come together and pray for the ultimate shepherd to be our guide and friend and Lord and Redeemer, our Savior. So which are you, shepherd or sheep? Well, it's both. Like for a time, in the middle of our lives, many of us are sheep and shepherds. We are children of parents, and we are also parents of children. That's kind of being caught in the middle sometimes. We are shepherds and we are sheep. How about that? If you're like me, your parents are gone. But their influence is still there. And they still appear in our minds and in our memories and in our spirits. And I think they still guide us and shepherd us. I'd love to think so. We can't really know how to lead others until we have learned how to follow. Even Jesus knew this. That's why he prayed in the prayer after he said, "Let this cup pass from me." He prayed, "Never mind, God. Never mind, Father." Jesus called God Father. And as far as I know, that was new with Jesus. You don't see that in the Old Testament, really. Maybe some translations put it that way. But Jesus gave us the image of God as Father. And Jesus prayed to Him as Father. Jesus, knowing His own need for guidance, for a sense of responsibility, a sense of accountability to go through with what He knew He was called to do. Well, we have a lot of images for God. And we have a lot of images for Jesus. And we've talked about two in this sermon, but the cornerstone and the Good Shepherd. But I think that maybe the Good Shepherd image is the strongest one, because a corner is made of brick, a rock or wood even. But a shepherd is a living, breathing personality, a person that loves. A corner can't love. A rock can't love. You can love a rock, I guess, but the rock isn't going to love you back. So I like the image of rock stability, of firmness, of interlocking on the corner. That's a good image. It's a sturdy, good image. And we've preached that. We've even built models with Duplos on the altar table of a wall, and how the corners link together. But that is still a thing. And the image of Jesus as shepherd is a person. A person who goes out into the fields with the sheep, who sweats with them, who endures the rain with them, who helps to guide them to where they can find greener grass. I invite you. I know you've been a part of the church all your life, many of you. Some of your lives are shorter. Some of your lives are longer than mine. But I think we always need to refresh this thing of looking to Jesus as the shepherd. You're invited today to come to faith in this Christ, to deepen that faith, to grow in it, and to grow into it further. If you're not a member of this congregation, you're invited to join and make it official. The church at its best is believers following Jesus together, so that we can use our hearts and hands to help each other and to praise Him. So come, profess your faith and claim it or reclaim it in Jesus the Shepherd. If you're already walking with Him, then that's great. Maybe you can find another sheep that needs to be led.